Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the FT Advisor podcast. Towards the end of last year, the Financial Conduct Authority published its long-awaited rules to curb greenwashing in investments and label sustainable funds. For a few years now, the FCA has also been considering advisor-specific rules on ESG. But when it published its SDR rules in November, the regulator instead said it was setting up an advisor working group to look at the issue. This will, quote, work together to build on existing capabilities in sustainable finance, including how the SDR and labels support advisors' roles, unquote. So what does that mean? What can advisors expect from this working group, and how might it impact the way they operate? I'm Damien Fantato, Deputy Editor of FT Advisor. And with me to discuss this are Matthew Connell, Director of Public Policy and Public Affairs at the CII, and Luke Murray, a consultant at Bovril. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, we can probably spend a huge amount of time going through this, but I'm going to ask you very briefly to explain a little bit about what the current rules are for advisors in terms of, you know, ESG, and what they have to do regarding a client who may or may not want to invest in an ESG manner. Matthew, can we start with you?
Yeah, so there are rules and there are standards and expectations. It's spread a little bit across the FCA handbook, but basically the training rules require advisors to have competence around ESG, when the rules were written, what was called ethical funds. So there is a requirement for an advisor to have awareness of this issue and a certain level of understanding as far as the qualifications go. And then obviously there's also requirement of advisors to explore clients' goals, both financial and non-financial, and so the requirements are that. I guess at the moment the requirements are more passive. If a client expresses a preference, then there's absolutely a requirement for IFAs for advisors to explore those options properly, and they're expected to be competent to do so.
Mm-hmm. Luke, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think I'd probably just, I guess, highlight that sort of anti-greenwashing rule in sort of the SDR. I think it's quite important for all firms, but obviously namely financial advisors. And of course, there'll be some scoping still to be done to financial advisors, particularly if they find themselves a distributor firm within the rules. We know that distributor definitions are similar to other rules that a lot of sort of IFAs are already tackling with their sort of compliance requirements. Whether they are distributors or not, I think could be an open question. But hopefully MoFi IFAs will have done that work already. But I'd say the anti-greenwashing rule and those distributor requirements for the labels and disclosures are definitely at the forefront of the requirements as well.
Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned in my intro, the FCA has been umming and ahhing for a little while about whether it would bring in specific rules for advisors on ESG or ESDR or however you want to pronounce it, which suggests that there are maybe gaps in the current framework that it considers may need to be filled. Or at least did. Luke, starting with you, what do you think the gaps in the current rules regarding ESG and advisors are?
I think it's a great question. I think it's one that one could argue is one of the key drivers for this working group from the FCA. I think it's clear that the regulator notices that financial advisors are going to have a bit of a tough time with the SDR, similar to perhaps the Consumer Duty, which wasn't a long time ago, of course. So I think the first thing that I've seen and had discussions with many financial advisors myself since the publication of the SDR, but obviously before the consultation phase as well, is probably on suitability. So we know that with FCA rules in their sort of conduct of business source book, there are no specific ESG preferences requirements as of yet. So there's a lot of guidance out there already, and we know that across in Europe there are some guidance under the MiFID rules as well. So I think a lot of IFAs and financial advisors are quite keen to see if the FCA would bring in requirements more targeted at the financial advice space, particularly on looking at sort of suitability for those sort of retail consumers on their ESG preferences. As you know, as we all know, ESG is still a moving target, particularly for firms, but of course for retail consumers.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Matthew.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just on those that EU template, I think obviously the EU went first, and then in around COP26, UK authorities were keen to stress that they weren't lagging behind, so they put out a statement around about COP26 saying that they were going to look at more requirements for advisors, perhaps around requiring advisors to initiate the conversation with clients. I think since then it's been a bit frustrating, because when you get the authorities saying that there's going to be a requirement and then not actually clarifying what it is, you can get a bit of retrospective regulation slipping in when the requirement's finally defined. People say, well, you know, you knew there was a requirement coming. You should have known that what its final form was take. So there's a bit of regulatory risk in there, which is frustrating for advisors. On the other hand, I think the one good thing that's come out of the gap is that we can learn a little bit from what's happened in Europe, because in Europe they went down quite a prescriptive route, quite a sort of parent-child route of the authorities telling advisors what to say, and now there's a bit of ping pong where you know, people are saying, well, you know, kind of we can talk about you know, climate-related issues and issues where there's a strong system of labelling already, but what about, you know, things like water sustainability and things like that, and the EU sort of put those in as requirements as well without having the system of labelling in place. So I guess one thing you could say about the FCA is they've put the horse before the cart by talking about the labels first and then moving on to the advisor requirements.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I get the impression that you're fairly happy about the fact that they've gone for this working group such process rather than issuing tablets from the heavens.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, and I think the thing is that different conversations around sustainability arise in different ways according to the way the advisor proposition is set up and according to different clients. So having that conversation stemming from practitioners is really powerful. Yeah.
Luke, do you agree? Do you think it's a better thing for the FCA to have done, to have approached the issue this way, through a working group rather than just issuing mandates?
Yeah, I think many industry-led working groups as well, for example, from sort of PIMFRA and the IA, are very useful, I think, for not just financial advisors already, but for other firms in the industry to sort of share views on what's working and what's not working. And I think, you know, just reading rules and guidance is always a good place to start, but to really have those important discussions on you know, best practice and maybe challenges, I think, is always welcomed, and particularly to come from sort of, you know, the horse's mouth from the regulator, I think is great.
Mm-hmm. And Matthew, do you agree with Luke on that the issue of suitability is really the one of the areas where there's a sort of a gap in the rules around this as far as advisors are concerned at the moment?
Yeah, and I think it's a moving target. So it's good that the FCA is in dialogue and is committed to providing more clarity and guidance. I think particularly on climate change and areas where so with ethical purely ethical investments, you can make a divide and say, well, there's financial considerations and non-financial considerations. But I think with areas like climate change, as we move more and more towards a situation where climate change is having a direct economic impact, it's important to interpret the suitability rules according to how things are. So people with a long range investment outlook at the moment need to start thinking about the economic impacts of climate change as well as the non-economic impacts. So that in particular is one where people's financial planning and decisions is becoming more and more enmeshed with environmentalism and climate change than it would have been 10 or 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And look, are there any other particular areas that you think the working group might look at, or any particular areas that you'd like the working group to look at?
I think the two pieces that come to mind and that I've had discussions already on is, I think firstly that sort of anti-greenwashing rule. I mean, we know that it's quite broad, and I think hopefully for some firms quite, I guess on the face value, quite simple to understand, in that, you know, if you are make any reference to sustainability characteristics of, you know, of a sort of product in the UK or a service, then of course it has to be consistent with those sustainability characteristics and be fair, clear, and not misleading. But we know that the FCA have also released, in conjunction with the rules, this sort of guidance consultation on looking at, you know, further guidance for all firms, including advisors, on how that rule can be implemented. So I think I think that particular area on further guidance, I think the anti-green washing rule is going to be one of those rules that is constantly in consultation, if you see what I mean. I think it's going to be ones that firms are always going to look at new examples and new scenarios where that rule can be expanded on and maybe need further tweaking. And then the other thing I would say is probably this key bit that was mentioned earlier on consumer education. I think the FCA think in sustainability, this is a massive area that advisors should be constantly looking at and needing to get right, which obviously links to suitability. But I think where advisors can see what they can do on consumer education around sustainability, I think is quite important as well.
Mm-hmm. And Matthew, what do you think on what Lucas just said?
Yeah, absolutely. We've just done some research with advisors that we're publishing soon on the sustainability knowledge gap, and obviously, as you'd expect, advisors are in different places. So, I think for some advisors, the regulatory issues that they're thinking about are, you know, we know that climate change is going to have a massive impact. We know that see the economic impact in terms of businesses not being able to get insurance in some areas against flooding and things like that. So they're saying, well, we want greater clarity, greater movement from the regulator now around the current rules and what that means for suitability and consumer duty. And then sort of more widely, other advisors looking and saying, yeah, around anti-greenwashing, where does the responsibilities lie? How much am I expected to police providers? What kind of ecosystem of information is going to be available? You know, how much is the FCA going to police the benchmarking process and things like that?
Mm-hmm. And then specifically, as far as you're concerned, are there any particular things that you'd like to see the working group address or look at that we haven't discussed?
Yeah, I think it's about kind of acknowledging different clients, and I think the FCA's labelling process it makes a really good fit to that. Sort of looking at clients who want to make an impact with their investments versus clients who are more kind of not in my name, want to screen out certain investments. I think the labelling process follows different client needs. I think we'd want that on the advice on the advice part as well. So there's going to be some holistic advice that goes beyond investment advice or even financial advice towards sort of personal finance around saving money and living in a more sustainable way. And I think that's a very powerful proposition for advisors to take that really holistic approach. But equally, you know, it's an approach. It needs to be an approach that fits advisors' relationship with clients and allows advisors to construct conversations in a realistic way, rather than perhaps more the EU way of having more of a questionnaire and you've just got to plough through the questionnaire that the regulator's created.
Sure. There are some advisors who are absolutely embracing this. There are some firms whose whole ethos is around sustainability and ESG. There are going to be other advisors who say, oh, no, I've already had the target market stuff in prod, I've got consumer duty, now I've got this stuff where I have to sort of ask, you know, my clients about whether they drive a electric vehicle or whatever. So maybe this might be the way they think about it. How comfortable are you that this isn't going to be too onerous a burden, do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, you can see some circumstances. For example, a client who's very worried about having been invited to a scam. They want advice on that specific area. They don't necessarily want to launch into a conversation about sustainability straight away. But equally, I think however much you feel that your clients are just focused on the financial side of things and aren't so much interested on environmental or social issues, you know, that environmental issues like climate change are going to have an impact. They are going to have an economic impact, just as, you know, kind of political risk and investing in some areas, politically volatile areas, has an impact. So I think even for advisors who feel that their clients are just meat and potatoes, just want to look at the financial side, increasingly the way in which funds take account of environmental impacts like climate change is going to have a very raw financial impact and economic impact as well.
Mm-hmm. Luke, what do you think about that issue of whether this is going to be, you know, impose yet another burden as the advisor sees it on clients that aren't necessarily be interested?
Yeah, so it's certainly a great point and one which a lot of advisors will be thinking about. I mean, I know that the FCA in their policy statement sort of said that, you know, advisors should already be sort of discussing any sort of sustainable investment objectives with sort of clients as part of their existing consumer duty obligations. But of course, that won't apply to all advisors. Some advisors will be at the very start of their journeys on implementing SDR, or even just in fact talking about sustainability with their clients. But I think going back to that consumer education piece, I think, you know, instead of jumping into perhaps what their investment goals are when it comes to sustainability, there's a real key point here for perhaps advisors to take a step back and to really ensure that their clients really understand the key characteristics or parts of an ESG market that they're interested in. I think, as we've all said before, you know, ESG is certainly a moving target, an industry that is constantly evolving day by day, and one which I think making sure that your consumer understands what they're wanting, I think, is probably one of the first things to get right before then looking at how sort of the labels and disclosures, etc., can then be understood.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I guess there are many product providers are increasingly, you know, product providers, DFMs, are increasingly marketing their services with an ESG frame of reference. So it's something that people are going to have to get used to navigating, even if they don't necessarily jump headfirst into that pool and navigate their whole business around it. Great. Thank you very much to Matthew and Luke for your time, and thank you very much for listening. And tune in again next week for the next edition of the FT Advisor podcast. Thank you.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.